Be unto you from God our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if someone ever gives you a horse and you want to figure out how old it is, there's a simple way to estimate its age. Just look at its teeth. When a horse is about 5 years old, it has lost its baby teeth and grown its permanent adult teeth, much like people. But unlike us, a horse's permanent teeth keep rising out of its gums for most of its adult life, which helps compensate for the constant grinding down of its teeth as it chews. So because a horse's teeth are constantly growing, it's possible to guess the age of a horse based on how far its teeth have risen out of its gum line. For example, horses over the age of 25 tend to have longer and more angled teeth than younger horses. So there you go. Now you know how to check the age of a horse should you ever receive one as a present. Of course, if someone does give you a horse, it would probably seem ungrateful to immediately go and check and see if they've given you a young horse or an old horse. It's like checking for the price tag on a Christmas present to see how much somebody spent on you. This is likely the thought behind the old proverb, "Don't look the gift horse in the mouth." That old proverb, which dates at least as far back as the year 400 AD, remains important for us to keep in mind today. We are constantly tempted to take the gifts that God has given us and focus on the negatives. We take our blessings for granted and find faults in everything. So just this week, my son was happily playing with actually that pirate ship right there, that Peter Pan pirate ship, and he turned to me and said, "Now I have a pirate ship just like my friend Lukey." "But Lukey's pirate ship is still bigger and cooler than mine." See, we learn to make these comparisons at a young age, and we continue to make them as we grow into adults. One of the places I see it most is when people talk about their jobs. It seems like no matter how excited somebody can be for a new job, as soon as it's a few weeks into it, and they've already forgotten that excitement and replaced it with those little annoyances that they weren't expecting. And this is exactly what Israel did throughout time, and also especially in the wilderness when God had just rescued them from slavery in Egypt and then taken them out into the wilderness where they found that they had no food or water. You see, God gave Israel the gift of freedom from their slavery, and they sang and rejoiced about it for a little while, but not for long. Soon, they became critical of God's gift, even saying that it would have been better if they had just stayed in Egypt as slaves. God gives us gifts as well. He gives us bodies. He gives us a place on this earth. He gives us our families, our homes, our jobs. These are all things that God gives to us that are meant to bless us. But we often take these gifts for granted and immediately start to inspect them for defects. And when they aren't to the standard that we would like, we treat God's gifts more like burdens. We focus on the bad. Our attention is absorbed in our dissatisfactions and our sufferings. We even try doing this with God's greatest gift, the gift of being connected to Jesus' death on the cross through baptism, so that we will one day also be connected to his resurrection on the last day. Even this great and glorious gift gets set to the side when we focus on the trials and the struggles that come along with it. We get so distracted by our temporary suffering. We think, it's great to be saved, but now do I really have to go to church all the time? Do I really have to love my neighbor as I would love myself? Do I really have to love even my enemies? Do I have to praise God right now, even though I'm in the middle of heartache? It's a matter of perspective. You see, we're here in the present, and our worries can overwhelm our days, our weeks, our months, and even our years. It could be chronic pain, the death of a loved one, or an unhealthy workplace. These things can affect every part of our day. They can feel big, overwhelming, and sometimes even final. But in light of the salvation we have in Jesus, our problems, which are big to us today, are small when compared to an eternity spent with our Savior. See, God's gift of life and salvation doesn't come without struggles. We might look at that gift and think that it's riddled with defects, even to the point where it looks like it might break. But our vision is limited. We can't see that God is taking our suffering and turning it to His glory, as He does with all things, and will do with all things when He comes back, when Jesus comes back on the last day. And that doesn't mean, just because we can't see it, that doesn't mean that He isn't doing it. We might lose our perspective, but God's gift of grace is always bigger and better than any trial we might face in this life. See, even death pales in comparison to the eternal life that we have in Jesus in the resurrection. The Apostle Paul shows us how our perspectives ought to be in his letter to the Philippians. See, Paul tells us that he has been thrown into prison. He's not even sure if he's going to come out alive or dead. And yet, he does not moan or mope about his sufferings. Instead, he is glad, because through his imprisonment, the gospel of Jesus was spread to the entire imperial guard and to everyone else who saw his persecution for Jesus. Some took advantage of his imprisonment. Some Christians took advantage of his imprisonment and started preaching the gospel in order to usurp his position of leadership in the church. But does Paul get angry at them? No. He doesn't complain about these people who are trying to hurt him while he's in prison. Rather, he rejoices, because whether or not they were doing this out of a pure intention, Christ was still being proclaimed. That security in Christ is the most important, most wonderful thing that Paul can think of, that Paul has, and he is thankful for that in all things. In comparison to the great gift of salvation we receive from Christ, nothing can measure up. No pain, no sorrow, no trial, and no persecution can outlast the promise of the resurrection. God gave us His Son. Jesus gave us His life. And in your baptism, the Holy Spirit delivered this gift to you. Through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you have received the promise of eternal life in paradise. It's yours. And even though the resurrection is still yet to come, at least your resurrection is still yet to come, you have the promise of the gospel right now, today. You have an eternal family here, the church, that you get to be a part of today. And the best part of the gift that is still yet to come, but you get to treasure what it gives you now: peace and joy, even in the midst of persecution and suffering. So, don't look the gift horse in the mouth. Don't let your focus drift away from the promise of that empty tomb. Don't miss out on the chance to rejoice in every moment of your life. For God has given you the gift of new and eternal life in His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.